Y'all set up?
Well, the last time it clicked off, it looks like we're good.
All right, I'll take your word for it. Thanks, David, appreciate that. Good song leading today. Dan, I appreciate the prayer on my behalf. It's good to be with you all today. I'm glad that you're here. Hope that you got your Bible with you and that you'll think about the things we're going to discuss this morning or this afternoon. I'm looking forward to next month. Next month, the third Sunday. Of course, I'd be here normally on the afternoon, but I'll be here in the morning too. And get to spend that day with you, and maybe throughout that week as well. I think what I'd like to do, I've got some sermons from the book of Matthew, and that's probably what we'll do through the week. Not exactly sure what we'll do on Sunday, but through the week I've got some material on the book of Matthew that I think is really good, but it's not because I think I came up with just fantastic sermons. I think it's because Matthew's just a really good book to study. And if you can just get out of the way of what Matthew, the evangelist, is communicating, then you've got some really great sermons. And so that's what I'd like to share with you next month throughout that week. Today I forgot to bring my little adapter with me. I've got like two of them, but for whatever reason, I never seem to have the one that I need when I need it. So I've got my slides up here. I'm going to look at them, and you're just going to not be able to see them. But don't worry, I don't have any good pictures or anything, so you're not really missing out. Let me begin with this. So somebody says, I love life. I love life. It's the people that I can't stand. Have you heard that before? I love life. It's the people that I can't stand. Or somebody might say, listen, I love them. I just don't really like them very much right now. I've got a sister, and I appreciate her so very much. She's so very candid when she talks to me. She shares things with me. She shares wisdom with me that I just appreciate so very much. And she was telling me about some challenge she was having with her kids one day. They were just being kids. And she says, there are sometimes I love them. They're my kids. I love them. But there are days that I just don't like them very much. I can get with that. I can appreciate that. Yeah, I love people, but sometimes I don't like them. I've wondered about that with Jesus. Jesus loves his disciples, right? The Bible says he loved them to the end. But do you ever wonder sometimes when they were misbehaving and squabbling with one another and arguing and they just weren't on the same page with him, that he might have just not liked them very much? I wonder about that with God. I wonder sometimes, I know God loves me. God is love. I know that God loves me, but I wonder sometimes the way I've misbehaved, I wonder sometimes if he just doesn't like me on some days. I want to talk to you this afternoon about loving people that just aren't quite likable. How do you love people when you don't like them? Let's just be honest. There are people that we don't like. There are people that are just, they're really hard for us to get along with. How do we love them? Because listen, love is unconditional. The Bible clearly teaches that. And if you go to places like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that chapter about love, love is patient, love is kind, does not brag, does not act unbecoming. It's a choice, right? Love is not a feeling, at least not in that chapter. That's not the way that Paul's using that word. It's not a feeling, it's an action. And actions are chosen. You can choose to love even the unlikable. You can choose to love them. Did you ever hear this advice that was, I don't know that this was advice, maybe it was advice that was given to me. There was advice that was given to a married man that he was having trouble with his wife. They just weren't getting along. They were always at each other. And he was given some advice that said, listen, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. The Bible clearly says that, right? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. Husbands, love your wives. But even though the Bible clearly says that, it just wasn't smoothing things out. She's my wife, but it's just not working. And so the advice was given to him, well, if you can't love her like your wife, then love her because she's your sister in Christ. And the Bible teaches us that we ought to love our brethren. And and love our neighbors as ourselves. The Bible clearly teaches that. And so if you can't love her because she's your wife, then love her because she's your neighbor and she sleeps next to you. So love her like your neighbor. Love her like your sister in Christ. But even that wasn't doing it. And you probably know where this is going, right? If you can't love her because she's your neighbor, well, then Jesus has some news for you. Love her because she's your enemy, right? Love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. That's what the Bible says. Love is a choice. And you can choose to love even the people that you don't like. Now, I've got three acronyms that I want to share with you. And that's the only thing that you'd be missing out on that you can't see here. I've got three words that I'm going to share with you. And I'm going to use them as an acrostic to make some points. The first one is pray. And the second one is souls. And the third one is smile. We want to pray for their souls and smile. And so I'm going to use those as an acronyms for some of the points that I'd like to share with you this afternoon. And so when I think about how to love people that I don't like, I want to be praying for them. I want to petition God for them. I think about passages like Exodus chapter 32. This is where Moses had gone up on the mountain to communicate with God, to receive the commandments of God. And because he had been up there, and the people didn't really get an itinerary as to how long he was going to stay, he'd just been up there a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and the people got restless. They didn't know where he was and what had happened to him, if he was ever coming back. They just didn't know. And so, well, maybe we need to get underway. We can't just stay out here in the desert forever. And so we need to get on the way. Make us a God to go before us. And you remember how they formed the golden calf. And then God was angry with them. And Moses petitions God on the behalf of the nation of Israel. God was going to wipe them out entirely, start over with Moses again. It'll be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. But Moses petitions God to be merciful to the whole nation. Now, is it because all of Israel were Moses' best buddies? Was it because all of Israel had been so nice to Moses? Not hardly. There might have been a few in that congregation in the wilderness that were unlikable people in Moses' estimation. Or you might think about the time Jesus in Luke chapter 23, Jesus is being crucified. He's being crucified in this very moment. And the people who had so wickedly put him there, these unlikable people, Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." How do you love people that you don't like? Pray for them. Pray for them. Because, listen, it is hard. It is hard. It is hard to stay embittered with people when you constantly ask God to bless them. It is hard to stay embittered towards people when you daily and consistently ask God genuinely to do good in their life. Petition God for them. And remember that we too are sinners. Look at this passage over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now, this is the point that Paul is making in the entirety of the book of Romans, or at least the first half of the book of Romans. The Gentile world are all sinners, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 2, the Jews are without excuse because they are sinners as well. And then he draws the conclusion in chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned, Jews and Gentiles alike, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He comes back around to that point here in chapter 5 when he says in verse 6, "For while we were still helpless," and that includes me in this place, "while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." We might put in there the unlikable. "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die." Now, I'll pause there for just a moment and I'll explain. The righteous man and the good man. The righteous man here is the person who does what is right. What the law says to do, that's what he does. He does what he's supposed to do. He is right. The good man does what is right, but he goes above and beyond. That's the distinction between the two. So here's the person, the good person is the person who does what he should, but he goes above and beyond. And so for that person, somebody, there might be somebody who would even go above and beyond for his sake. But verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, unlikable, Christ died for us. Remember, when we're struggling to love people, to choose to love people that we just don't like, that God chose to love me when I have been unlikable. Maybe you've heard this phrase before as well. There, but for the grace of God, go I. We can look down on different people. So often we might find ourselves in that very same condition, that very same situation, had just a few things in our life turned out slightly different. There, but for the grace of God, go I. And so when I'm trying to choose to love people that I don't necessarily like, I want to remember that I'm a sinner and I need God's love too. I want to be kind to people. Always be kind. Petition God, remember that we're sinners. Always be kind. I love this passage in the book of Colossians. There's a passage in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 15, that says that a gentle answer turns away wrath. I think that's so profound, but I like this passage in the book of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul gives this advice in dealing with people. Colossians chapter 4, he says in verse 5 and verse 6, he says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Now, I like that. Let your speech always be with grace. Now, what does that mean, to always be with grace? Some years ago, I had flown out with my wife at the time, with Aaron. We had flown out to California, to Southern California. There was a church out there we were going out to talk to. And so one afternoon, while we'd stayed out there several days, and so we'd spent a little time. We drove up to Malibu. And of course, if you're going to be out in California, you got to go and see Malibu. And so we drove out there. And I don't remember what restaurant we had stopped at. I don't think it was a McDonald's, because you can get McDonald's around here, so it was probably some local place. But we had pulled out of this, out of a restaurant. We'd gotten some hamburgers or something and pulled out, and some lady had cut us off, and she stuck her tongue out at me. Now, I don't know the last time somebody had stuck their tongue out at me, but it was probably in second grade. But here I am in California, and this full-grown woman sticks her tongue out at me. You know as well as I do, even driving around here, you don't have to go to California to know this. You drive around here, and you know that there's all kinds of different visual aids that people like to use when you do something that they don't particularly like while driving, right? There's all kinds of things that people do to indicate that they are displeased with you. And sometimes people deserve a really harsh response, because there are some really foolish drivers in this world. Let your speech always be with grace. Do better than what they deserve. I don't think I deserved her to stick her tongue out at me. But the gracious response, be gracious. Do better than what they deserve. Sometimes a person needs a good tongue lashing. Sometimes people really need to be put in their place. Do better than they deserve. Let your speech always be with grace. Always be kind. And yearn for God's word. I want you to look at this passage over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 12. When I think about how to love people that are just so unlikable, I pray for them. I petition God. I remember that I'm a sinner as well. I always want to be kind, and I want to yearn for God's word. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul writes this. He says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, so that you may prove, to demonstrate what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Don't be conformed to this world, but be molded and shaped, transformed by God's word. When I think about how to love people that I just don't like, I want to keep going back to God's word so that it can change me, that it can mold me, so that I can be as God would have me to be. I want to pray for their souls, and so I want to keep sowing the seed. You remember that passage in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 13, that Jesus is telling a number of parables? The first parable, of course, is the parable of the sower. Sower goes out to sow, and he sows seed, he scatters seed everywhere. And you know the point, right? The point is that it's not the seed is not different, it's the same seed sown always. And the difference is not the sower, it's the same farmer, he sows the whole field. The difference in the crop or the failure is the soil. You remember the story, right? The difference is the soil. But the parable is called the parable of the sower because it is for the encouragement of the people who sow. Don't quit. Even when you don't see results, don't quit. Keep sowing the seed. I don't know if you've sang the song here, likely you have, Apples in a Seed. There's a song called Apples in a Seed, and part of the phrasing goes, you can count the seeds that are in an apple. You can count the apples on a tree. And I don't exactly remember how it finishes, but you can never count the apples in a seed. You can count the seeds in an apple, and you can count apples on a tree, but you cannot number all of the apples that may grow from the seed. You cannot know all of the good that might ripple out from your life by what you see today. Keep sowing the seed. How do you love people that you don't like? Keep sowing the seed. You do not know what good may eventually result from it. And take opportunities. Opportunities. Seize them. In the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, "So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith." When I'm thinking about how can I love people that I just don't like, that I just don't get along with, I want to pray for their souls. I want to sow the seed, opportunities, I want to seize them. And I'm going to love them with unconditional love. Yeah, unconditional love. Look at these passages. This is over in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Everyone who loves knows God. They know what God is about. If you don't love people, then you cannot know God. You do not understand who He is. You do not understand what He is about, because God is love. And then he continues that on in verse 20, and he says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." When I read that passage, what it makes me think of is, I'm on Facebook, like every other middle-aged man and woman. I'm on Facebook, and you know how many friends I've got on Facebook? I got more friends on Facebook than people I know. I got so many friends on Facebook, and most of them I don't even know who they are. Really, I don't. But we're best friends, you know why? We've never had an argument. Because they stay over there, and I stay over here. And we never interact with each other. But we're friends. We're friends. Facebook said so. We're friends. That, I think, is what John's saying. Look, it's easy. It's easy to say that I love people when I don't interact with them, I don't see them. But when I'm dealing with somebody day after day, and maybe they even live in my own house, and we interact all the time, and maybe sometimes we're on top of each other, and that creates friction. It's a different thing to talk about loving that person, isn't it? I want to look at people the way that Jesus looks at them. Yeah, if I could see people the way that Jesus sees them, that would help me love people that I just don't like. In the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 15, this is where Jesus tells a series of parables. He tells the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Now, I remember when I was a little boy, I remember my mom's parents, they had some lambs. And so we would go over to the farm, and Grandpa Brooks, he'd have a Pepsi bottle. He had a RC Cola. He never had Pepsi. He had RC Colas. But he'd have a bottle, and we'd put a little nipple on it, and I'd get to feed the lambs, you know. And I remember running and playing and chasing the lambs and things like that. We didn't mess with sheep all that much. So the story of the lost sheep, that's not one that I identify maybe so much with. And I do have some money. And so, you know, if I lost some money, maybe I could identify with that a little bit more. But, you know, I've lost money in the past. And so maybe that's not the one that connects so much. But that last one really does strike a nerve. And it does, I think, for a lot of people. When you have people that you dearly care about, whether it's a son or a daughter or maybe even a brother or sister, maybe it's your spouse, but it's someone close to you, connected to you. And they go off into a far country. And you know the thing about a far country is it doesn't say anything about mileage, does it? Sometimes a far country is just in the next room, but it's a far country when that door slams shut, isn't it? They go off into a far country, and we're not talking anymore. This boy goes off into a far country, and dad doesn't even know if that boy's alive or dead. Don't hear anything from him, never get any letters, never get any phone calls, don't know if he's alive or dead. As a matter of fact, the dad thinks that he's dead because that's what he calls him when he comes home. This son of mine that was dead. Now that's the picture that God has for His lost children. And I'd suggest that a lot of the lost children are the ones that are unlikable. I would like to see people the way that Jesus sees them. Just because my personality and theirs just don't quite align, I want to be able to see them the way that Jesus sees them. I think that would help me choose to love even the unlikable. When I think about loving the unlikable, I want to pray. I want to pray for their souls. I know it sounds a little cheesy, but I'm going to smile about it. I'm going to smile about it. And so let me use that again. Let me use that as an acrostic. I'm going to stop assuming the worst. Look at this passage in the book of Philippians. This is Philippians chapter 4. There's an issue at the church at Philippi. There are two women that are mentioned here at the beginning of chapter 4 that have both been of service. They've both been faithful Christians, and I suppose that they still are faithful Christians. They've been beneficial to Paul and his ministry. And so Paul writes to the church because there's some conflict between these two women. And Paul is encouraging the rest of the disciples there at Philippi to help them be restored to one another. And so he gives some practical advice in how to do that. But I want you to know the last thing that he mentions. It's found in verse 8. Verse 8 is directly connected to the conflict between the two women in verse 2. What does he say? Finally, brethren, whatever is true. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, whatever is of good repute, if any excellency or anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things or think on these things. Whatever is true. Wouldn't that help so very much in dealing with people that I just don't like? A lot of times the reason that I don't like them, why is that? Why is that? You ever been to, I don't know, you ever been to Walmart? You run into somebody that you know, and maybe you've got a little bit of a tiff with each other, but you see them there, or maybe they see you. I don't know, maybe they didn't see you, but you saw them, and they scoot around the edge of the aisle, and they get onto the other aisle, and immediately what do we think? They are avoiding me. They are avoiding me. I saw them, and so obviously they had to have seen me, and they purposely went around to get away from me. Is it true? or we meet one another here in the church building, and ran into my brother here or my sister here, and you know, did you see the way they looked at me? Did you see the way they looked? They gave me the stink eye. Did you see the way they looked at me? All the things we imagine, all the motives that we conjure up in our mind, the evil motives, the hurtful and wrong motives that we conjure up in our mind, and we plant that on top of other people to give us reason to be angry with them. Whatever is true. Think about what is true. Stop making stuff up. Stop assuming the worst in people. And make every effort to be at peace with them. That's what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. And Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, as far as it depends on us, be at peace with all people. And maybe attached to that, imagine ourselves. How would I want people to treat me? You know what that passage in Matthew chapter 7 verse 12 says, right? However you want people to treat you, so treat them. I'll tell you, the passage I like to attach to that's over again in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. The Hebrew writer says, remember the prisoners. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. I want to share something with you. So I write letters. There's a woman in prison up in Lincoln. I don't know how long she's been in prison, and I've never met her in person, and I don't know how many more years she has to serve, but I know she had a long sentence to serve, because her crime was pretty serious. But as far as I understand, I write to her for a couple reasons. I write to her, number one, because I think my dad baptized her. I asked Dad about it. He couldn't remember, but I'm pretty sure that he baptized her. She was dating a boy that used to go to the church at Robinson. And so that's how Mom and Dad got connected to her. And before Mom passed away, Mom would write to her. Mom wrote to a lot of people. Matter of fact, there is a man whose mother still worships with us at Robinson, whose younger brother worships with us at Robinson now. He was in prison for a number of years while Dad was still preaching there at Robinson, and Mom would write to him. And after he got out of prison, he came back to the church, he made himself right with God, and then he died. And I know that a lot of the reason that he came back after getting out of prison was because of the letters Mom wrote. And so I write to this girl, and I don't know what to say to her. I don't really have anything interesting to talk about. I mean, I live in small town Illinois. She's from Hudsonville, by the way. Her family is. And so we just talk about if the farmers are out in the fields yet. She wants to know about the garden and the weather. I thought about that. I thought, what if I was in prison? What would I want somebody to write to me? I don't even think I have to imagine it that way. I've got letters from my grandpa, and I got letters from my mom, and I've just got general letters, and you know, it doesn't really matter what they're talking about. I'm just glad I've got a letter from them. I'm just glad that I've got somebody who's thinking about me. Imagine yourself. What would I want somebody to do for me? I know that there have been times in my life, way more than I'd like to admit, but I can at least admit a couple of them, that I have not been a very likable person. And I am so very glad that people have been patient and kind to me. Imagine yourself. Let me offer you two more. When I think about how to love people that are unlikable, I want to listen to them. I want to listen to them. He who gives an answer before he hears, it's folly and shame to him. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. And I think that that's, I think when I listen to people, I'm simply doing what God himself does. I mean, you read through the book of Job. Job's like 42 chapters. And you know how many chapters God speaks in? It's like just the last couple. Job talks and he talks and he talks and he talks and he talks some more. And it's not until the very end that God answers. And we wonder sometimes, well, what is it? Why doesn't God say something sooner? Could it not be that maybe God's simply listening to what Job is venting off? Yeah, I know that Job oversteps his place, but could it be that God's just giving him room to speak? Maybe we ought to take a cue from that and listen to people, even when we don't like them. And the last one is this. The last one is this. Expect the best. I want to share this passage in the book of Philemon. Philemon is a real short little book. It's right before the book of Hebrews. Just one chapter in the book of Philemon. The letter of Philemon. The theme here is that Paul is writing to a brother from the church at Colossae. His name is Philemon. And he is writing about a runaway slave named Onesimus that Paul met while in prison and converted to Christ, and now is sending that runaway slave, Onesimus, back to his master, Philemon, with this letter. And Paul's really asking for him to send Onesimus back. But before he does so, to receive this runaway slave, not as a slave, but as a brother, just the way that he would receive Paul himself. And confident, Paul says in verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I know that you're going to do this, Philemon, I know that you're going to do this. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say. I know that you'll do even more than what I say. He's setting up positive expectations. You know, if you have a child, if you have an elementary school child, and you tell that child, you are smart, and you are good, odds are you're going to have a smart and good adult. I don't remember who it was, but somebody was talking about their daughters, and he would always say, whatever his name was, the way I tell my daughters, Werfel girls are smart and pretty, because that's what I want them to be. Positive expectations. You tell a child, you're smart and you're good. Odds are they're going to be smart and good, well-behaved. But if you take that same child and you tell them that they're dumb and they're never going to amount to anything, don't be surprised if you don't end up with a dummy who doesn't amount to anything. Set positive expectations. Expect the best. I know, Philemon, you're going to do not just what I say, but even more than what I say. Do you suppose that Philemon, do you suppose that he did just as Paul imagined he would? How do you love people that you don't like? I pray for their souls. And I smile. If there's someone here this afternoon that perhaps needs the prayers of this congregation, we invite you to come. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. We want to build you up. If there's someone here that needs to put Jesus Christ on in baptism, come. Let us help you in all the ways that we can while we stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see.